1480 KSDR welcomes you to this week's edition of On the Water and in the Air. It's not always about where the fish are biting or where the birds are flying. It's talk about how to go get them.
On the Water and in the Air with your hosts Neil Jensen, Randy Aggermeyer, and Lynn Jurens.
I want to warn everyone, this is a live show. Once in a while, it gets a little raunchy around here.
You know what? Neil's not even here. He's in China.
Oh, and so he's not our. He's not on.
Well,
on the
being
list today.
He's in China, we're going to talk to our local tackle rep that buys everything from China.
Oh, that just rhymes. I mean, right. You know,
I don't know what you've been drinking since 8 o'clock, but it don't rhyme to me.
Oh man, China tackle from Mikey Lewis. Mikey, are you with us?
Hey, good morning, guys. What's going on?
Wow, we're kind of wondering. You know, we saw a Facebook post the other day that you buy all your tackle from China.
Yeah, right.
That's not true.
Absolutely not.
That's what I thought.
We could, you remember our friend Neil? You know, he and you and him had some stories that kind of melted together here a while back. You remember him? He's in China right now. You need us to get a hold of him so he can bring you back some stuff.
Oh, you either getting some mileage out of this one, aren't you?
That's all right.
You didn't get into any trouble from these tackle manufacturers saying anything about buying stuff out of China instead of making it in America, did you?
No, why would I get in trouble? I'm not a sissified chicken man, you know, like everybody else running around.
He only dances when the fire's hot, I'm telling you. You know. But you know, Mike, we're glad we got you on. I guess you know we're talking a little bit about muskie fishing. I know the muskies are good. A lot of people that have heard of us before. Mikey Lewis is a big fisherman around the area. It's,
he
loves the fish, no matter what, a multi-species. But now it's muskie time, and I call him Musky Mike. And I know he's been trimming the hula skirts a little bit. So what else is going on?
You know, the muskie stuff has been just starting to crank up. Excuse me.
Use a little bit of McDonald's coffee this morning, couldn't you?
Yeah, no coffee. You guys get no notice.
Oh, you mean we called you unannounced?
We just called him up and he was getting out of the shower.
This is called cold script right here. This is the cold script right from Leech Lake, Minnesota.
So we're going to find out
I was just having a dream. I got Shanghai. I got, you know, somebody kidnapped me. I was in a Chinese prison ship making bucktail, you know. Worked for free.
You know, the bad thing about those things is the hooks, they're like flat on the end, aren't they?
Yeah, I don't think they have. We should. Over in China, that's one thing for sure.
So, what we're having fun here, everybody, with is we're making fun of these tackle manufacturers buying all their stuff out of China instead of American made. So, if you know, maybe not everyone's kind of catching our sarcasm here, but that's what we're talking about. Plus, Mikey loves to muskie fish, so he's now made it a trend in his home to only buy American-made muskie lures. And
absolutely, I endorse Muskie Mayhem from the heart of Minnesota. And they don't sponsor me; they don't pay me, but they're the original inventor of the double cobra. It's not you, Randy, with the pan. That's just the double cobra is a lure that they invented for muskie fishing. It's got the tinsel tail on there, and it's very deadly for muskies. So
the old cowgirl, that baby just rings them right in, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Well, they call the muskie the fish of 10,000 casts, and you know, myself, I've caught one muskie in my lifetime, and that was with Lynn when we were pre-fishing up on Cass Lake.
Oh, yeah.
And we went up into the river.
Yeah.
And I accidentally caught one.
Uh-huh.
And it was so big that it was pulling the boat against the current.
Oh, yeah. And guess what he caught it on? a walleye jig and a minnow.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of fish caught on smaller baits, and that's what I'm going to bring up right now is the muskie fishing. Everyone thinks you have to use a really big lure, but there's lots of fish that are caught on walleye size baits, and what we like to do this time of year is downsize to like a smaller presentation. Feed them a snack, not something smaller, because the water's pretty cold. Water still last week was in the 60s here yet. It's not warmed up yet. So, as the season goes on, we'll go bigger. But right now we're fishing number 5 size mapses and, smaller bull blocks and stuff like that. Just, a large bass jig with a shad body on it, stuff like that. They like smaller stuff.
Are you... are you just sharpening your hooks, or have you made an adventure out onto the water yet?
I've been on a couple times, and I haven't gotten a fish yet. Honestly, I've been only out twice, and we moved a couple fish. We had follow up to the boat, but a couple friends of mine have gotten a few, but it's a little early yet. But
so in the world of muskie fishing, though. If you see one, that's a win.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
That's a great day when you see two.
Yeah, exactly.
So where are these muskies?
Some days you'll catch 3 or 4, but the next 5 trips out, you won't see any. But they're kind of there's not a lot of them per acre, but they're kind of like hunting trophy whitetails. Once you see them, you can kind of target them. They stay in the same area. They're kind of a territorial fish, so.
Where do they stage during? Where do they stage at in the water? Are they in the shallows? Are they up into the weeds?
Right now you want to look for the new cabbage weed growth. They like to hang out there. They're eating sunfish and crappies and whatever they can get their hands on. They like the warmer water, and they're the early season north side of the lake, so they cabbage weed growth, and then they like to hang out in the rock piles too. Rocks are good, and then just a clean sand, but I'm looking for weeds right now, and then as the season goes on, the bigger fish will head out to the rock reefs, and they like to set up on the rocks.
Doesn't the old cowgirl manufacturer, who's the name of the manufacturer there, don't they make a walleye imitation lure for like about a 14 or 16-inch walleye?
Yep, Muskie Mayhem. They make hundreds of different color combinations. We're using the one right now called the Junior or the Showgirl. It's just smaller blades, like the number 6 size. A little smaller presentation, but as the season goes on, we do a lot of night fishing, actually. The muskies bite after dark. We use the number 10 and 12. We troll them, which is a lot of fun. You have a sudden collision with a 52-inch muskie, it's 2.5 miles an hour. It definitely wakes you up in the morning.
Do you troll those cowgirls, or what are you trolling? Are you trolling a crank?
Troll the cowgirls, yep. Troll them. Between 2 and 3 miles an hour, and usually we'll stagger them different depths and speeds. If you're trolling on the edge of the weeds or over the tops, or, big spinner makes work good, too. They have the musky style spinnerbait. Sometimes we grind them right through the weeds and bounce them off the cabbage. That'll trigger them too.
If a guy got a good setup of planer boards out there with those cowgirls behind him, no pun intended, but we'd have a hell of a Chinese fire drill, wouldn't we, Mikey?
Well, we go to Green Bay, Wisconsin. We board fish in the fall with the crankbaits, and that's a great presentation also. It's open water. Musky trolling is pretty cool.
What do they pull in the fall? Big husky jerks, or what are they? Big?
Actually, we're pulling like a smaller. The bait they're feeding on out there is like a shad, and when it cools down, the shad migrate, and like the big shad wrap, number 10 or 12 shad wrap, the musky size one, but
yeah,
nothing really huge. You kind of match the hatch,
Sure, sure.
The musky stuff, Mike, obviously we know in the fishing world it can get a little expensive, but, I know muskies, you talk about these big bucktails and a different rod and reel. you know, for a beginner musky fisher that's out there that doesn't want to spend a lot of money, what do you suggest that they jump into? Rod and reel combination.
You can get a decent setup for, you know, I would spend the money on the reel, and the rods you can get cheap, like a Sauvignon and Shimano. You can get one for under $50. It's a good rod. It's got a little bit more fiberglass in it, but it's a good durable rod. And then I would spend the $150 on the reel, you know, so it's going to hold up. Or you can buy a decent musky reel for that $100 mark. If you go below that, it's not going to hold up for you, you know.
Is it because they burn off too much drag, or just because you're casting them too much?
The lures you're throwing, they're pulling hard, so, you know, it's hard on the gears.
Mm-hmm.
But some of your larger walleye reels, like your 5500 C Garcia, if you just want to start out and see if you like it, you could get by with a season on one of those, you know. Put on a medium-heavy 7-foot to 9-foot. I like an 8-footer myself, and go after it.
You know, you could do it like we did in Lake Ogeechee on Mille Lacs. The old Norwegians used to pull out these cane poles that were about 25 foot long, and then they looked like they had bricklayers lying on the one end, and you pull a big daredevil. But when you catch a fish, it'd be so big you couldn't play him. You'd throw the whole bamboo rod in the lake and follow it around your boat until he got tired.
Yeah, I've seen that before.
You paint the handle orange so you can keep an eye on it.
Yeah, they use carpenter's string, that yellow line that, you know, like chalk line. They put that on there, and they speed troll spoon the cane pole. And I've actually did that before. I've never caught a muskie, but I've caught big northerns too.
Caught big northerns too.
Us Norwegians had to teach you guys how to do that?
I'm half Norwegian, so I qualify.
You and I are in the same boat here then. Where'd you grow up, Mikey? What Norsky country are you from?
Well, our family, they taught us how to swim. They put us in a gunny sack with a jackknife and threw us off the bridge. If you made it to the bank of Toad Creek, then you were safe, you know.
They threw you off the 100-foot trestle out in Walker Bay.
And it was over that firm New York Mule country over that way.
Oh,
is that you from Big Pine area?
Yeah, Big Pine Lake.
Oh, Big Pine, Little Pine.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's a good, good little area.
That's where we grew up fishing. We had a little 14-foot Larson with a 5.5-horse Johnson and the old Prescott spinner and stand-your-own minnow trick. And Dad was a truck driver, and Grandpa was a railroad engineer. And we had the whole summers off, so we were fishing every day.
I just can't picture the whole Lewis family in a 14-foot one.
So just my cousins and my brothers and I, there was four of us, five of us, but it was a big 14-footer, aluminum, you know. And
we caught
fish in that boat, boy.
Oh, yes. Didn't even have a look. Probably had a green box locator.
Yep, we have a green box in there, and my cousin restored the boat. It's so, like, new. It was quite the rig. Wooden deck, aluminum boat. They didn't want to get away from the wood all the way, but you started with a wooden one, the old Ole Lynn, you know.
Sure.
You have to paint them and scrape them every year, but yeah, it was a good lifestyle. No TV, just fish every day.
So, you know, we talked about ambushing you a little earlier, and of course you've done well with the ambush this morning. You know, for those that may not know, Mike spends a lot of time on the phone in the firearms industry each day.
Well, we should have had you on last week.
Well, and you know, every once in a while this is the old show here was on the water, in the air, and we do have a hunting guest on quite often, not necessarily this time of the year, but with the recent, you know, what are some of the comments you're hearing from your, and what kind of demand are you seeing, different demand for certain things now that some crazy one person in the world went crazy down in Orlando? What are you hearing out there?
Well, you know, first of all, we had to pray for people and their enemies. I mean, it's sad thing that things like that happen in the world, but there is definitely an awakening of people wanting to buy guns to protect themselves from harm's way of whatever can come after you. You know, like people hold envisions of a good friend of mine from the Sporting Clay venue. I used to shoot a lot of Sporting Clays, you know, shotgun sports.
Mm-hmm.
And over in England, he had his whole house invaded. He's a world champion Sporting Clay shooter, and they broke into his house, and they stole his Land Rover, and they at gunpoint. And this is a guy that's in a really fancy neighborhood over in England. So I mean, this can happen anywhere.
Well, it just happened in Toronto, here in our area.
They stole the two of his Ferrazzi Sporting Clay guns and some of his gold cup trophies and a whole bunch of cash and his Land Rover, and he was just sitting there watching TV, and six people came up to his house and kicked his front door, and he didn't have time. He had guns. So this can happen to anybody, but it's just a sad world we live in. He's got to protect himself, and that's what's happening. People are just trying to protect themselves from the evil, you know? That's,
well, what's interesting to me lately, and they keep bringing it up every day, is they're kind of putting us to sleep and giving us a false sense that the government's going to take care of you. I mean, they got Obama's got his attorney general on TV a couple days ago saying we're going to send $1 million and we're going to, you know, do what we can to fix this thing. It's like, are you kidding me? You're giving all these people a sense that the government's going to be there to protect you and take care of you and do all this. BS on that one. I mean, that one just kind of, you know,
I'll tell you what I would do is if I had a choice between my children going to a school with no guns or the teachers having a shoulder rig with a Glock 23 on, and every teacher had one and knew how to shoot it, and then, you know, it's come to a point now where this is what's going to have to happen. I mean, those people that are going to start shooting, they're going to think twice because the school's armed. I mean, you have to fight fire with fire. You can't just sit there and lay and get dust kicked on you, you know?
I agree with you. Look at the soft targets out there. Look at the soft targets.
Absolutely.
The security in that place in Orlando. The security.
Yeah.
That guy should be sued for millions. That hasn't made the news yet, has it?
Yeah.
He should be sued for millions because he didn't have his security guards armed. Are you kidding me? You got a guy that had been there in security. He was an ex-Marine. He'd been there in security. He couldn't even defend the place. He couldn't even slow the guy down. All he could do is go out and open the back door of the place. Are you kidding me?
You know, I should have do it like we did years ago, you know, and Mike was talking about schools. Back when I was in high school, Mike, and if somebody came into our school and tried to do that, you'd have half the football team run out to their vehicles and get their shotguns because they were out hunting that morning and come in and clean house on the guy that was causing trouble.
Yeah.
Remember those days that you used to bring your gun? You put your gun right in your car because you went out hunting that morning. And then you went to school.
One kid over in Perm, he came to school. He was deer hunting, of course, in the morning before he came to school. He forgot his deer rifle in his pickup. And the security cops seen the deer rifle in his pickup, and they kicked him off the football team because he was out deer hunting. Now, what kind of deal is that, you know?
I mean, yeah, he's probably the one that could have saved more lives that day if some crazy...
Yeah, he's crazy out there. But the gun sales have been actually just normal, but people are being awakened. I mean, they're waking up and saying, hey, we're not going to be a victim. That's the whole thing. Join the NRA and fight the evil forces out there. That's all you can do.
You see a lot of people in Minnesota area, you know, getting their concealed carry permits now? Because I know around here in our area, almost everybody's got one.
Concealed carry permit thing has been a good deal. I mean, it's the people that are doing the classes are making a lot of money, but they're also educating people on the right way to use
deadly
force to protect themselves. I mean, you have to be careful. There's a lot of unemployed attorneys out there, too, that like to make money, too, you know?
Oh, yeah. Got that right.
There's a local group here in Watertown I saw, advanced
class that they're doing.
And man, they filled up quick. I mean, Just Facebook alone here has those classes filled up for July 9th, and I think they may still have an opening on the 16th here of July. But you know, I think that's probably, maybe it's not pushing as many people into buying as many firearms because a lot of people have them, but teaching us a few more things about how to use them and defending ourselves. I know one thing I did the other day. I loaded mine. I put 16 rounds in that 9mm. And
it only holds 10. I don't know how the heck you did that.
And I didn't know how to load it right the first time. I'm glad I wasn't, all nerved up and ready to, you know, rack my brain on some crazy guy, because I'd have been sitting there in the truck loading it, and he'd have probably shot me twice. But hope, you know, we loaded in hopes of prayer and never needing it. But you know, more and more as the media and the news gets the information out there, the next one's going to try to outdo this one. So we'll see, Mikey. We're kind of pushing the top of the hour here, and you know, awesome insight on buying all your tackle in China. We appreciate that.
Well, you get frustrated, to me. There's too many people out of work in the United States. Companies have to go offshore. I'm gonna support the ones that sold.
You know, we just look forward.
You sound like a Trump supporter. You sound like a Trump supporter.
No, but we just look forward to reading your Facebook post when it comes to that stuff. In the, you
yeah,
know,
keep it up.
You know, we like that kind of humor.
Yeah, yeah. You give us ideas for shows. Thank you, Mikey.
Why don't you hook onto the Ranger and come on up, and I'll you can have some muckies that you're to post on Facebook.
Hey, that's what's the best time? July 4th?
September. Come up in September.
Okay.
Hey, it's crazy.
I'm thinking maybe we could ring ourselves a jet ski or something if we come up on July 4th.
Well, we can have Randy make some cast iron Cajun walleye for us, you know.
That's some good stuff.
Now you're getting into the food deal. All right, Ben.
Thank
Mike.
You, Mike.
We thank
day.
You a ton. Appreciate
Anytime,
it, my friend.
Next time, give me a notice so I can get some coffee in you so I can really work stuff.
No, it's better off this way.
Oh, shoot from the hip. We'll see you, Mikey. All right, Randy, over to you.
All right.